booted feet run down a long hallway as there are shouts and gunfire erupting through this pristine-looking hall. Through the air, an iron sword whistles, and a guard dressed in Hamshaw garb clatters to the ground. There's more shouting and more gunfire, and then that blade flashes once more, and another Hamshaw guard drops to the ground. We see two figures in this hallway, both wearing the distinctive armor of Forge Spawn Hunters, of the Hunters Collective from Clan Verdot. It is Havoc and Vanguard, side by side, making their way down this hallway. They reach the door that those guards were protecting, and Havoc says, "Van, I think this is it." Vanguard nods and says, "Let's get it open." They grab a keycard off of one of the dead guards and swipe it. The light turns green and the door opens. They enter this research lab. And Havoc looks around and she says, "What is all this stuff?" Vanguard says, "Looks like ascendancy relics. Do you think they were using them in their research?" Vanguard shrugs and says, "I don't know. Our objective's over there." Both of them turn and see an ascendancy pillar sitting in the middle of this research lab. And there is a small crystal orb that floats above this depression in this pillar. Havoc and Vanguard approach. And a voice says, "Hello, who are you?" The two Forge Spawn Hunters look at each other and then at the orb. And Havoc says, "You're coming with us." Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures, the solo actual play podcast where stories are told at the speed of dice. With me, Steve Morrison, your game master and solo player. Now come on, let's grab the dice and see where our story goes. Welcome back for episode 9 of season 3, Cry Havoc. Last time, Alexis Wolf recovered supplies from Dr. Winter's lab after having defeated several soldiers of the Azure Court. She asked Dr. Winter about the Radiant Council building weapons and learned that the Azure Court was once a benevolent ruler within this sector of Veiled Rest. But the new Azure King in the last few years is far less benevolent and has become more cult-like. The Radiant Council were required to build weapons, and most, including Dr. Winter, went into hiding. Dr. Winter offers Wolf her shuttle to get off the station and asks her to go to a settlement called Sepulchre to meet a contact called Vagabond and share their troubles here on Scirocco Station. Wolf tries to convince Dr. Winter to come with her, but the researcher refuses because her other researchers' lives are in danger. Wolf returns to Raven, and they make it to the cargo bay, board the shuttle, and escape. An Azure Court destroyer is outside the station and scrambles fighters, but Valkyrie and the Dead Reckoning show up, scoop up the shuttle, and jump into the drift. Wolf and Raven heal and recover on the several-day trip to Sepulchre. And Wolf reveals who she used to be, a Forge Spawn Hunter for the Hunters Collective, who became a high-level operative for Clan Verdot. They arrive at Sepulchre to discover two things: an orbital ascendancy vault and a fleet of Azure Court ships. As we begin this episode, Wolf and Raven are staring out the window towards the ascendancy vault that is orbiting around the Jovian planet of Magonia, as well as the Azure Court fleet. And Raven says, Wolf, do we need to start charging the E-drive? Wolf says, "Don't worry, Raven. Valkyrie's on it. right, Valkyrie? Yes, Wolf. I am currently shifting our ship's identity so that we will appear as a Clan Homshall transport headed to Sepulchre. As long as they don't look too closely and ask too many questions, we should have no trouble arriving on Sepulchre. So we know that our arrival here, we're meant to face a difficult choice because we got a miss on our set of course at the end of last episode. So it can't just be as easy as changing the ship's identity and then flying to Sepulchre. There has to be a choice here. So they begin flying towards the third moon of Magonia, where Sepulchre, the settlement, is located. And then the comm panel activates. And a voice comes through and says, Homshall Transport, please identify yourself. Raven looks at Wolf. Wolf kind of looks at the panel and looks up at the ceiling as if looking at Valkyrie. And Valkyrie says, if I respond, they will know that there is an overseer on this ship. One of you will have to respond. Understood, Valkyrie. What is our ship's current name? Let's roll on a starship name table. We are currently identified as Alara 5. We are transporting iron for shipbuilding purposes to Sepulchre. Wolf nods and says, okay, I can do this. Just have to lie to them. It's not a problem. She takes a deep breath. Then she activates the comm panel and she says, this is the Alara 5. We are transporting iron to Sepulchre for shipbuilding purposes. I can transfer over the work orders if that is necessary, but we are in a bit of a hurry, as we've been told that there's a high demand for these materials, and any delays will result in trouble for everyone involved. And Wolf is going to attempt to compel with Shadow. But I think before we do that, I think we are going to roll secure an advantage, because I think that Valkyrie is able to actually produce forged documents that would say as much. And so let's roll plus wits for secure an advantage. 7 on the action score, 2 threes on the challenge dice. We're starting off with a strong hit and a match. All right, so on a strong hit, I get plus 2 momentum and I get to add plus 1 to the next move. And then there is some sort of opportunity here because of the match. I feel like the obvious opportunity is that even though Wolf doesn't know it, what she says is true, that there is a high demand because the Azure King is trying to build a fleet as quickly as possible. In order for this to work, like they're predisposed to believe her because of that. So I think maybe the opportunity here is that if the compel doesn't quite go as we expect, maybe the consequences of a failure on that compel will be lessened in some way. Like they'll be more lenient, even if the result is, well, we need to, you know, dock and search your ship. So let's roll our compel. This is going to be plus Shadow because Wolf is lying. And her shadow is 1, but she gets plus 1 for that secure an advantage. So we'll be rolling at plus 2 here. Okay, I was too quick to excitement, as I have a 4 on the action score and a 4 and an 8 on the challenge dice for a miss. So they refuse or make a demand that costs you greatly, pay the price. So I think an obvious demand would be that they dock and perform an inspection. But because we got that match on the secure an advantage and they're predisposed to accept that what Wolf is saying is true, I think instead of them doing an inspection here in space, they're going to come back and say, very well, Alara 5, we will escort you to the planet and perform an inspection upon landing. Fall in with us and do not deviate from your course. Wolf looks at Raven. They both kind of shrug a little bit, and then Wolf says, thank you much. And the ship is going to progress towards Sepulchre. They have maybe like an hour or two to figure out how they're going to get out of this. So the question is, how are they going to get out of this? I think they've got two basic options, which is to land and undergo the inspection and try to basically jump the force that's coming in to inspect them. But that's also going to lead to questions when those people don't come back. Or they can try and break away and evade the scout and try to find an alternate way to the planet, whether that's going and hiding somewhere for a little bit and then changing up their identifier once more, or getting lost in traffic. I guess we should ask the question, how busy is Sepulchre? How much traffic is there coming and going from Sepulchre? And I feel as though it's probably not a quiet port, seeing as their contact is a shipwright, and it seems like this is the place where the fleet is being built. So I think it's probably likely that it's fairly busy here and that they could lose themselves in the traffic in this system. So let's ask the question. We think it's likely. So a 75 or less will be a yes here. 04. That is about as strong a yes as you can get on something like that. So it is incredibly busy here. So I think what happens is they fall in line with the Azure Court patrol ship, and they then start to filter into traffic headed towards Sepulchre. And maybe the third moon of Magonia is the only one that is really inhabitable in any way. And so all of the traffic is coming and going to that place. They're surrounded by other ships, and there is a complicated series of coordinates and trajectories streaming through the computer system that Raven is looking at and making micro adjustments. They continue flying through the system. They pass a point where now they can see around the curve of Magonia to where the third moon is orbiting, and orbiting around the moon itself is this massive shipbuilding platform, and there are ships being built all over it, and there are at least four or five ships under construction at this moment, and Wolf and Raven can see those ships in various states of completion. Raven says, Wolf, I think I can outfly this patrol ship. If we get a little bit closer to the planet, traffic's going to get more dense. There are more transports coming and going than I've seen in a long time. Certainly more than I've ever come to Scirocco Station at one time. If we can move fast, I think I can lose them. And if Valkyrie can do that thing again and change the identity of the ship, we might be able to lose them. Wolf says, all right, I trust you, Raven. Whenever you're ready. Wolf is going to set up whatever she can to do to try and assist Raven in this. So I think we should face some danger here, because that seems to be what we're doing. We're attempting something risky. And I'm going to say that this is going to be expertise, focus, or observation. Because while Raven is the one who's doing the actual flying, I think what Wolf is doing is using the scanner to try and feed Raven data of where they should go and like what ships they can duck behind and try to lose themselves in this vast swath of traffic of ships coming and going from Sepulchre. And so this is going to be expertise, focus, observation, rolling plus wits, which is plus two. Here we go. Four on the action score, a one and a four on the challenge dice for a weak hit. So on a weak hit, you succeed, but not without a cost. Make a suffer move at minus one. The most obvious minus one suffer move for me here is that the ship takes a little bit of damage. So I'm going to knock our integrity down from 5 to 4, and let's envision this. They're not far out from Sepulchre when Raven makes their move. The Dead Reckoning is descending towards the moon's surface, and the Azure Court patrol ship is right behind it. But there is a massive transport that is rising up from the planet and seems to be heading up towards the shipbuilding platform in orbit. And that massive transport is passing right by their trajectory down towards the planet. And so just as the transport is passing by and like rising up past the Dead Reckoning, Raven hits the thrusters and twists the control stick, and the Dead Reckoning springs into action and dips down and around and up past that transport. Raven fires the engines and burns them hard, and the Dead Reckoning climbs back up into the atmosphere faster than the Azure Court patrol ship can react. They are soaring up and up. Raven and Wolf are both pressed back into their seats as the ship is pulling an incredible amount of G's, and they are both straining against the weight of this burn. Alarms are going off. The comm opens up and the Azure Court patrol captain is calling for them to stop, to cut their engines, and Raven takes the Dead Reckoning back up into space and then cuts back through a small like collection of ships that seem to be traveling together and down, plummeting faster and faster and faster towards the surface outside of Sepulchre. And I think there's some sort of canyon, because of course there is, that they come across, and Raven plummets the Dead Reckoning into that canyon. They are twisting and turning back and forth through this maze of branching passages. The Dead Reckoning is a much faster ship than the patrol boat. It is an advanced ship made in the finest Tarquin shipyards. And so the Dead Reckoning burns hot and fast, and they follow this canyon. And then at a certain point, Raven brings the ship up and they're skimming just above the surface. And then they reach a place where then Raven says, "Is the identity changed?" Valkyrie says, "Yes, Raven. We are now the Phantom." Raven says, "Wonderful." And pulls the ship up and cuts the engine way back and has reoriented the Dead Reckoning so that they are on approach to Sepulchre from basically the opposite side of this city, this settlement. Throughout that intense maneuvering, they scraped a few times against the walls of the canyon, and the ship has sustained a little bit of damage, but the identity has changed. They threw off the patrol, and I think Raven and Wolf both see on the scanner the patrol ship flying around in a circular orbit around the station, around the settlement, scanning for the Alara 5. The Dead Reckoning, now known as the Phantom, slips into Sepulchre, finds a place to land, and settles down. And now, a mid-roll ad break. We'll be back to the adventure in just a moment.
I'd like you to join me on a journey into danger and mystery. Are you looking for an action and intrigue-packed solo RPG podcast? One that tells a compelling story and then pulls back the curtain? The Lone Adventurer is split 50-50. Half is a dramatic audiobook-style story set in a dark fantasy magitech world. and half is a step-by-step guide. A guide to how the drama has been created, how solo RPGs work, and how you can create solo adventures of your own. M. Guns gave this review: "I have listened to a few different iterations of fantasy storytelling, and this one rates at the top along with Me, Myself, and I." And Mr. Pizzle had this to say: "Carl has really knocked it out of the park with this one. Amazing production and pulls you into the story right off the bat." You can find The Lone Adventurer on the podcatcher of your choice, on YouTube or at theloneadventurer.podbean.com. The adventure is just getting started. I hope you'll join me.
Once the ship settles down and they have performed all of the landing procedures, Wolf turns to Raven and says, "Wow, I mean, don't get me wrong, I knew you could fly, but that was incredible." And Raven smiles a little bit and says, "Thanks, I appreciate that. It is my specialty, after all." Wolf nods and says, "I can see why. Amazing. I'm going to go find this vagabond and make contact. I think you should stay with the ship. I doubt, based on how quickly we got out of Scirocco Station and made our way here, that they've been able to send a herald or anyone with information about us. But just in case, maybe I should go alone, in case I am recognized. That way you're not in danger again." Raven nods and says, "I'll stay here." So Wolf is going to disembark from the ship and head out to find Vagabond. The things that we know about Vagabond are pretty minimal. We know that Vagabond is a contact of Dr. Winter, most likely another member of the Radiant Council. We know that they are a shipbuilder here on Sepulchre. And other than that, we don't know a whole lot. The only other thing that we do know is Dr. Winter told Wolf that Vagabond liked to hang out at a bar on Sepulchre. And because every good bar needs a name, let's give it a name. And since I don't know what to name it, I will just roll on the settlement name table. See what we get. Because that seems like it could be appropriate. Purgatory. That seems about right for a bar on a world called Sepulchre. So Wolf heads out to Purgatory. Unlike Scirocco Station, Sepulchre is a large settlement. There are hundreds of people living here, and it seems like most of them are packed into Purgatory when Wolf arrives. There are people dancing on the dance floor. There are people mingling and having drinks, and there are trays of food passing by. Wolf sees several people with Azure Court heraldry on their clothing. And while Sepulchre is not the capital of Veiled Rest, it is certainly an important place. And there are several members of the Azure Court who hold sway here on Sepulchre. And it seems like some of them are in attendance this evening. As Wolf approaches and enters, there is a security check. She has to turn over her laser pistol. However, one of the things about the Phantoms of the Azure Court is that they resolve disputes through formal duels. So Wolf has to surrender her laser pistol, but is allowed to keep her sword. And she notices that there are many people within this bar that are carrying swords and other melee weapons strapped to their hips. And in fact, as she's walking in, there's a bit of a commotion off to her right, and she sees somebody walk over and slap another with a glove, and suddenly this group of four proceeds outside of the bar, and she can barely see as she is passing through the security that they are preparing to fight a duel on the street. Wolf enters Purgatory and approaches the bar. She sits down. The bartender comes over and says, "What are you looking for tonight?" Wolf orders a drink. "Whiskey," Neat. And then she says, I'm also looking for a friend. Goes by the call sign Vagabond. The bartender looks at her and says, what, do you think I know everyone in Sepulchre? Look, I know I'm a bartender, but that's not how it works. Wolf smiles and pulls out a few pieces of currency and slides them across the bar and says, I've been in many bars and I do know how it works. If you were to know this vagabond or know somebody who might know them, I would very much like to speak with them. He looks down at the currency. I think they're probably like small iron ingots that are stamped with various clan symbols. He looks down at them, scoops them off the bar, and then wanders off. And Wolf is attempting to gather some information, I think. So let's roll it up. Rolling plus wits. 6 for the action score. 5 and a 4 on the challenge dice for a strong hit. Discover something helpful and specific. The path you must follow or action you must take to make progress is made clear. Envision what you learn, then take +2 momentum. So our momentum moves up to 6. I think he scoops the currency off the bar, looks thoughtful, walks away. Wolf follows his progress with her eyes while she's sipping on her whiskey. And after a few minutes, he comes back and he drops a small clay tab onto the bar that appears to have been stamped. And it has a room number. She palms it, nods to him and says, thank you. And then finishes her drink. She looks around and she sees that there's a hallway in the back of the bar that leads away from the dance floor. And there seems to be a set of stairs in the back there. And so she heads in that direction, leaves the bar behind, and makes her way upstairs. She can still feel the thumping of the music underneath her feet as she arrives on the second floor and finds the room number stamped on that tab. She looks around for a moment, and then she knocks on the door. It's not a sliding door. It's actually a door with a handle. And the handle turns and opens into what, for all intents and purposes, looks like an empty room. Wolf takes a breath, hand surreptitiously brushing the pommel of her iron blade, and she steps into the room. The door closes behind her, and she hears the distinctive whine of a Lay's pistol charging up, and a voice says, I don't know who you are or what you want, but you better speak quickly if you want to keep your brains intact. Wolf remains perfectly still and says, are you Vagabond? The voice says, who are you? What do you want? If you don't give me the right answer, I will shoot you. Wolf nods and says, I hear on the right night, seeing a quasar can make you fall in love. Almost instantly, the person exhales, and that distinctive whine of the Lay's pistol powering up dissipates. And then the figure steps around, and what does Wolf see? Well, first of all, is this a man or a woman? 1 to 3 will be a man, 4 to 6 will be a woman, 5 is a woman, and let's get a first look at Vagabond. 48, ill-equipped. So I think she's wearing like a mechanic's outfit, the like overalls that are like tied around her waist, and she's holding a Lay's pistol, but it is an old model. It's maybe 50 years old. Other than that, she doesn't seem to have anything on her. She looks at Wolf and says, who sent you? Wolf says, Dr. Yelena Winter sent me. She's in trouble, and so are the people of Skoroko Station, which is where she's been hiding out. She sent me to find you because she thought that you might be able to help. Can you help? Vagabond shoves the pistol into the waistband of her overalls and crosses her arms and almost seems to like fold in on herself. And she says, Yelena, I didn't think I'd ever hear from her again. What kind of trouble? Wolf explains. And Vagabond says, yeah, makes sense. The Azure Court's really been pushing to build ships. We've been working double shifts, trying to get all of those ships completed. The Azure King, I don't know what he's doing, but he's got a plan. How can this shipbuilder on Sepulchre help Dr. Winter escape from the clutches of the Phantoms of the Azure Court and also help Scirocco Station? It stands to reason that if the Azure Court were once benevolent and have now become less than benevolent, that there are probably people other than the Radiant Council who do not like this change in power. Maybe there's even members of the Azure Court themselves who do not like the changes that the new Azure King has brought to the organization. Could Vagabond be tied to some faction that is in the process of rebelling against the Azure Court? That would make sense why Dr. Winter would send Wolf to meet with Vagabond, because Vagabond might be able to get her in contact with someone who could have the resources and maybe even the forces to show up on Scirocco Station and oust the Azure Court occupation. Okay, so I think this is going to be another faction within the Azure Court. So what kind of faction is it? 98 is a fringe group, band of outlaws, outcasts, or rogues. Thank you, Dice, for agreeing with me. What kind of influence do they have? 31, localized, marginal influence in a single sector. Okay, again, that makes sense. What kind of fringe group are they? 95, smugglers. It's a group of smugglers. And what is their project? 34, give aid to a faction. Huh, that's perfect. We have this group of smugglers who want to give aid to a faction, probably in this case the Radiant Council, against the Azure Court. Let's name this faction, because this is fun. 75 is going to be affiliation of the Legacy Identity. The name of the smuggler group is Syndicate of the Infinite Ravens. Syndicate of the Infinite Ravens. Vagabond says, yeah, I can help. I've been in contact with some people. They call themselves the Syndicate of the Infinite Ravens, and they're smugglers. I'm not sure who their leader is, but from my contacts and what I've heard, their leader was once a prominent member of the Azure Court. And when the new Azure King came in, he cut off some of the supplies of this individual, and they were forced to shift their interests to smuggling. I think they were a fuel magnet or something like that in Veiled Rest, because a lot of the fuel sources have been diverted to the Azure King's project. Wolf nods and says, Scirocco Station has not received a fuel shipment in months. Yeah, many of those shipments are coming here, and they're being sent to the ships that we're turning out. And we're turning out ships faster than we ever have before. And look, our shipbuilding is not like the Tarquins, but we take pride in our work here, and we're being forced to make compromises. It's almost as though the Azure King wants quantity over quality. And because of that, we're seeing a lot of resources being diverted here. More people have come in, and I don't know that all of them actually know how to work on building a ship. They're just being used for their labor. But the Syndicate, they may be able to help you. And I can put you in contact with one of them if you'd like. Wolf says, that's why I'm here. I'm here for help. Vagabond nods and says, okay, I'll set it up. Wolf says, when you have the time and place, contact me. And she gives her comm frequency. right before Wolf leaves, Vagabond says, how is Yelena? Is she okay? And Wolf looks back and says, she's smart and determined. And I've only known her for like a week and a half. So I'm sure she'll be just fine and she'll come through this. When I go back, I'll make sure to tell her how helpful you were. This smaller woman who's half hugging herself offers a little smile at that. And Wolf leaves. About 4 hours later, Wolf receives a comm from Vagabond with a location. When she arrives at that location, she discovers a small jazz club. And she walks in. She gives the information that Vagabond told her to give, and she is ushered into the back room of this club. Sitting in a chair at a table, smoking a large cigar and drinking whiskey out of a crystal tumbler, is this grim-looking man with scars on his face. His skin is tanned, and he looks to be carrying a decent amount of muscle underneath his clothing, which is fairly nondescript. Whatever passes as a suit in this section of the forge. Wolf walks in and he stands and with the cigar in one hand gestures towards a seat. Says, you want a drink? Wolf nods. Says, if you're offering.
Yeah, no problem. Help yourself.
And gestures to a decanter of whiskey. Wolf crosses to that small little table, pours herself a measured amount, turns and says, so, I'm Havoc. Who are you? He looks her up and down and says,
I've heard that name before. Pretty sure the person is dead. You shouldn't be taking names that aren't yours.
Wolf flicks back her coat, revealing the iron blade, and she says, do you want to test whether or not I speak the truth? He leans back and goes,
all right, maybe you are Havoc. Stories I've heard, I wouldn't want to take that test. Look, I'm not here to judge whether you are some hunter's collective lapdog or not. I have it on good authority from a friend of mine that you're looking for help. We love to provide help to interested parties who are opposed to the Azure Court. You're opposed to the Azure Court, right?
Wolf says, I am, as are my associates. The Radiant Council. I believe you've heard of them.
Oh yes, I've heard of the Radiant Council. The name's Quickdraw. Like you, I have a reputation. As an agent of the Syndicate of Infinite Ravens, I'm happy to offer you some help, but as I'm sure you are aware, help in the Forge is rarely free.
Wolf nods and says, what do you want?
Well, if you are who you say you are, this shouldn't be a problem for you. Maybe on your way in, you noticed there's an Ascendancy vault hovering up there in orbit around Magonia.
What about it?
Well, there's something on it that I need. And if you want help from me, I'm going to need some help getting it. What do you say, Havoc? Sound like fun?
Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures, and thanks so much to Sirenscape for the lovely ambient sounds and music throughout the episode. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word, and if you want to support the show directly, leave me a review or buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/errantadventures. If you want to interact with me, I'm at errantsolopod on Twitter and Instagram, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.